Welcome to Dear People of Earth. Today we focus on the first-hand testimony of Fernando Conejo, photographer of the orb image taken over the Ecuadorian rainforest. We discuss where he was and why he was there, and then discuss his experiences before and after. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.
Hi, and thanks for listening to another edition of Dear People of Earth. Today I'm talking with Fernando. He's the gentleman that, as you know, we released the orb photo that was taken in the Ecuadorian rainforest. And Fernando is the gentleman that took that picture. And we're going to talk to him a little bit about the specifics behind where he was, what he was doing, and just get a little bit more into the consciousness of the whole thing. And just some interesting takes from Fernando, I think, that are very important. So if you have been following along recently, George Knapp had made mention. George Knapp had made mention of when you're looking at this phenomenon, whether it's orb, whether it's Tic Tac, whatever the technology is, it's usually attached to some type of consciousness. And there have been some really wild things that have been put out there that you would think are you know, you talk about the metaphysical and you talk about the supernatural and things of that nature. And the first thing is, you know, people that don't follow any of this just kind of tune right out, say that's not part of it. But there's obviously some type of something going around or something going on with that. And we've been touching on that in other recent podcasts, both with Kevin Day, with Michael last week. You can see that there's something going on. So anyway, I'd like to introduce you to Fernando. And Fernando, I'm just going to let you take over here a little bit. Just tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, where you're from. I know that you're also an underwater photographer and you do some work in your area. So I'd like you to, you know, just let everybody know a little bit about who you are and what you're all about. So take it away.
Okay, good night, yes, Steve. Very nice to meet you and talk to you. I'm Fernando Cornejo. I'm from Ecuador. I was born in Ecuador. And I'm currently living in Chile. I'm a photographer and I work mainly in nature photography and underwater photography. That's my specialty. So I'm always hanging around with my camera and traveling a lot. That's mainly my activity. And so this situation of being able to make a picture of an orb was quite interesting and very important for me too. So a bit about myself. I don't know, just a normal guy living life. I've been working with tourism a lot. I'm as a scuba diver and as a dive instructor. I've been working with tourism and going around the world. And I think, Steve, you can ask me some questions, and so sure, we can get into the conversation about this day when.
Yes. So previous,
I was able to do this picture, so previous, no? And to leave this experience.
An experience.
Because it's more than a picture. It was
so previous
an experience,
to this,
you know.
We had talked before, with our friend, our mutual friend Juan, and we talked about you do a lot of work or talk between indigenous peoples and people within the government, and you're able to kind of talk to all of these different people. And previous to this, you were doing something along those lines. Is that correct?
It's not that I do the talks. It's... What I talked with Juan is that my personality It's not about my job. It's because being a photographer gets me to meet people. As a photographer, I've been able to talk to different cultures, different types of people, and this has allowed me to be around. Can I say, many type of people. Like, I have no problem to talk with the president of Ecuador, and I have no problem to talk with anybody, human beings, and I have no problem no issues, you know. So, but it's not that I've been working between government and indigenous people. It's just the thing about indigenous people in my country is very important, and I've been studying the indigenous cosmovision, and I've been living and experiencing different type of indigenous cosmovision in my life. So I have very
ties
strong. I have a very strong connection with indigenous people, and not only from Ecuador, but from the world, you know, this ancestral way of living. And I don't know if you want me to, Steve, to start telling you about the day that I saw the orb. Because I was going to a community. I was heading my way to a community that is called Sequoia Remolino. And this community is from a very small group of indigenous people. The Sequoias are an ethnia or a nationality of indigenous Ecuadorian people that is a very small amount of people left. And a specific Remolino community is about 200 people. And I was in my way to stay with them and live with them and learn from their cosmovision. So I was heading to meet the chief of the community, who has made an invitation, or who was receiving me in his house, for I was going to spend with him a couple of days. So I spent there like 10 days, but I was heading there. I wasn't with them.
Did you
yet.
Have an issue where you had to stop in that specific area? I know we talked about it, but I wanted you to talk about it.
Okay, so specifically going into the details of that day, I was driving my car. I had to leave hometown Quito very early in the morning to pass the mountains, to pass the Cordillera de los Andes. Once I passed the Andes Highland, I was getting into the jungle, Ecuadorian jungle. And I was very tired. Suddenly, I was very, very tired. I was driving my car alone, and I was getting very sleepy or very tired. And I stopped in a place where you can stop the cars and have a view. It's like an area where you can have the view, a view side. And I fall asleep, like 1, 2, 3, boom, out. I was sleeping, very tired. And I was so tired that I left the lights on the car. But I turned off the engine, and I think I was with the radio too. So I slept there for an hour at least. And when I woke up, because there was more people in this place, I tried to turn on the car, but battery was off. So no battery. And this was a new car. So new battery, new right. car, but
yes.
maybe in an hour it was lights on, off. So I tried to fix it. Some people helped me. We put some cables, run my car, and keep going. So I lost like 1 hour and a half of time, or 2 hours, 1 hour and 45 minutes in between. I was sleeping, and also after, when I was fixing the car. And there was this person waiting for me in the town, and I had 6 hours more to drive. So I started going, but suddenly I stopped in this beautiful view. For me, the ocean is very important, but when I got to this point, it was like the jungle looked like the ocean. It was amazing view. After the hills, so I was still on a highland, not on the highest part of the mountains, but I was higher than the jungle. And I have this feeling, very, very strange feeling, and the sensations also, in between, like tired, and also I had to go. I have to leave to find these guys. So I wanted to go, but I decided to stop in this place which one I have in yes. the map that I saw, that I sended you in the map that I sended you. That's the stop I did. And I do the stop there. And as a photographer, I started doing these photos of the view. It was just making the photos of the view of the landscape, which was amazing. And when I did the photo, and actually I had my camera, I did a couple of shots with my camera, but I had my phone, and I was taking vertical photos for the Instagram and stuff. So I make a photo, and that's when I see this strange thing in the photo. And at the beginning, I was confused with these balls that they put on the cables. Here in Ecuador, in the jungle, the cables have some balls. I think it's right. for helicopters not to crash into the cables. So I thought that was it. And, I did a couple of photos more in that moment. And I noticed that this ball, this orb, wasn't there anymore. And the strange thing is that the photo I did is really, really clear, and it has focus on the exact point where the orb is. Because the second photo and the third photo I did, the focus is a little bit right. behind. It's like closer to me. So I checked the camera too, and you cannot see anything on the camera, or I wasn't able to right. see the orb with
so
my
one
eyes.
Of the things that we did was
I just have the I have like a feeling, but I have like, it's strange how my brain I don't know. It was like feeling tired, extremely tired. So it was this sensation. And when I did the picture with the phone, I noticed exactly. It was really clear, because it has focus on the right. proper focal distance. It has the proper focus in that distance, because I would say it's more than 800 meters away, more, maybe 1,500 meters
away. When you saw that in the picture,
you know? So it's not
when
really
you saw that in the picture, what
close.
Was kind of the first thing that you thought of? I know you you said you were thinking, well, maybe it was one of those things over the you know, I know what you're talking about with the, they have wires and they put the balls on them so that they, you know, you don't bang into them, a helicopter or whatever, it's not going to smack into them. But what was your first thought after that? Like, what was it like? What did I just see, or what did I just catch, or what was this? Like, what were you thinking? You know, because you're an experienced photographer, so you do this for a living, right? It's not like you're just throwing pictures up and you don't know what you're doing. You actually do this for a living. This is something that you do. Now, obviously, you caught something on the shot that wasn't there previously for a second. You never even saw the thing in going through the air, moving left, right, up, or down. So you caught this thing in a split second, which is something we think maybe you weren't supposed to catch. Like, you weren't supposed to get that, and it just happens that, bing, you got it. You know, what were you thinking at that time, at that point?
At the beginning, I was confused, but I had this feeling, or I was at the beginning confused, and then I felt certeza. I feel that it was really true, that it was an OVNI. I knew this was something different. I knew this was because, you know, just by looking in the picture, you can notice there's a little house in the left where you can see a little bit the size of this thing. And I knew that it was OVNI, not from the earth, not... I knew this was different, so immediately I sent this picture to some friends, and this is how a few days or a couple of days, not just 2 days after, I met Juan and started talking with Juan, and then I talked with you maybe a couple of weeks later or 1 month later. I was traveling around. And I talked to many people, but I had very important talks with the local community, because remember, I was taking this trip to the jungle to meet the indigenous people and to talk with them. So I showed this picture to them, and I was talking with them to see what have they seen or what have they experienced. So they were telling me the indigenous people have a lot of stories, or make metaphors and make stories. So there was a lot of information exchange with me and them, and they were telling me that they've heard stuff, like not seen but heard stuff, and. But they have never seen something like that before. And this is when I started more than investigating, talking with the people around, and this is how I get to Juan, and this is how I get to you. And now I am sure, and I know that this picture, the picture I did, is very clear and is very important, because we can see something that has not been recorded before. In that clear, you know, and that's, for me, it's amazing, because I've seen activity, and I am a very sensitive person. I am like a very sensitive person, and I've seen stuff, but I've never recorded. And now that I've recorded, now this is for me certain. It's real because I lived it. And the experience, it's true. You know, it's right. Amazing what I saw, what I was able to record. And now we have this proof that this happened, you know,
yeah,
and that
it is truly
happening constantly.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No,
oh, well, let me finish. So it is truly like a worldwide phenomenon. It is something that is happening all over the planet. And, you know, when Juan showed that to me, and I got the low resolution version of it first, I had to sit and stop. And I had to live with the picture for a little while, right? Because I wasn't 100% certain what I was looking at. And the more and more I looked at it, and more I thought about it, and more I thought about the things that, as you know, I've had some contact with some other people, especially with the reverse engineering and things of that nature, and what they explained to me about how these particular orbs operate. It specifically showed me that that's exactly what was occurring. So the more and more I looked at it, and more I became convinced that what we were looking at was something vastly different than anything else that had ever been caught on film before. And I say film, I'm kind of old with that, but, you know, I guess, you know, it's a digital picture now. But when I saw that, I said to myself,
yeah,
this guy caught something that has never been caught doing this specifically before, because you could see, and then the person that I had that actually did the forensic work on the photograph, was actually able to look at that picture. Yes, Mark was actually able to look at this picture and tell the above and the below and the chromasticity that was between the two of those. And it was a moment that was kind of like, okay, so this guy caught something that's never been caught before. Yes, there's been other videos and things where it looks like they're catching things that are on a far distance. They're moving, they're going through the air. You know, whenever I see something that's going just in a straight trajectory, just in a straight line, I tend to think that's not exactly what we're looking for when we're trying to find and we're trying to suss out these individual orbs. I think it's when they're doing specific things, going like this, 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 and this, as opposed to just going in a straight line. And what you caught was literally a fraction of a second in time. Like it was that 1 in 10 million shot. It was not even like it wasn't like you were shooting a video or something and caught it. It was literally like it's there, it's gone, and you caught it at that exact moment. And that was what kind of blew my mind, because I've heard theories from it's a butterfly. Okay, well, here you are. You're now talking to the person that caught this image, and there were no butterflies in the area. Is that correct? I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but is that correct? Yep. So now.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I thought it could be a butterfly. I thought it could be many things, but it's what Mark says, and it's in the forensic testimony, is the focal length, the distance, right, the where the focus is. So, it could be a balloon from a kid that throw from a town, but actually there were no towns around. It's just the jungle, you know? And then it was not a balloon. It was big, and it disappeared.
And that's
boom. It never moved from a trajectory from a point A to a point B.
It was there.
It's gone.
Here I am, and now poof,
boom.
It's gone. It's not. It didn't move. It didn't go from point A to point B. No up, no down. Just gone.
Yeah. Yes, because we have, and no butterflies, no birds. Yeah, it could be a bird, but that's why the picture went to a forensic study, you know, and it is clear. It's really clear for me. It is an experience I lived, and for me, it's amazing to being able to catch this on film, on record, on the camera. It was amazing, and I knew this would happen to me. I knew this from before, that this was going to happen to me. And I have this feeling, Steve, that it's going to keep happening. Maybe I have to be very clever and very alert and to see if I find something else, you know. And I live in a place where I, as a photographer, I move desert, jungle, underwater. And underwater, I felt some very crazy things, but I have not on record. This is on record. So this is an experience that this has been recorded. And it's... it was a very nice experience to live, you know.
Have you felt that? I know that we talked about this a little bit before, and we talked about consciousness. We talked about the specifics within a technological envelope. Like, there is a technology that is part of this. Sorry, my cat's hopping in here with us. What we have discussed previously, that there is a technological component that goes along with the experience itself. And, some people that have experiences do not have pleasant experiences. Would you catalog this as something that you felt was a positive, or is this something that has maybe gotten you into a situation where you feel differently? I definitely, you know, your own words. Let me know how you felt and how you continue to feel about this. Do you feel positively?
I feel that as a photographer, it is a very good, situation. In photography, you capture instants, moments, and there's a magic when you capture this, like a kid that laughs just when the bee is being eaten by a bird. It's just this fraction of a second that when you catch it, wow, boom, it's like you feel it, and it's amazing. So just to do the picture, I felt amazing. Now, in the moment of my life, I've been searching for indigenous cosmovision, and I changed my lifestyle many years ago. I've been traveling around. I've been doing photography in a different way, because I do photography. I have a project where we do macro photography in fruits and plants, and how the human nature and the mother's earth nature is just the same. And we're just part of the earth, and how earth is inside us, and how we belong to earth. And it's just, we are just one ecosystem. So I've been exploring a lot. So in this exploration, and in my exploration, because what I've been exploring is like the art, the photography, the human body, but also the our chronological life, our ancestrals. So I've been trying to communicate with ancestors, like grandfathers, but grandfathers and great grandfathers, and I've been able to communicate with them, and it has been amazing how all these clues in my life have been getting like in order. And this is why I find so amazing the synchrony that this happened when I was going to meet these indigenous people, this community. I was going to live with them, and not going as a tourist, but going to live as one of them and to be part of the community for a couple of days, but not just like a tourist, which I've been many, many times in the jungle, but as a tourist in a lodge or in a hotel. So all these made me feel at the end very confident on what I am doing and very convinced that there is much more than what we've been told. There's much more than what we think we are. So in this constant exploration, I think that this is not like this picture. It's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence. I am sure that this is not just a little coincidence. It was meant to be like that. And what's going on? What's going to happen? I don't know. It's like many things that happened in my life 20 years ago, 18 years ago. Now I am understanding now 20 years ago or 15 years ago, 20 or 15 years later, I understand. Okay, I get it. So now I don't know exactly, but I have the feeling, Steve, that I have to go around and keep doing photography in the sky and underwater, you know, and on the earth, and do my macro photography, because sometimes we are feeling that we want to find this huge machines or this big stuff, but I think also there's very, very small and very tiny stuff that we are not paying attention to. So I'm paying attention to all these, and in my feelings, I don't know if I can tell you if there's after this moment, because it has been like a process of many things happening to me. Many, many things had happened to me in the last 2 years or 3 years, and it has been magic. I tell you, it has been magic, and I think many good things that happened to me, you know? It's like I think it's a vibration when you get into the high frequencies, you start vibrating different, and I think that was what maybe the main reason to being able to see these or to record these. It's just because how I am vibrating in this time of my life, you know. It might have nothing to do. It might be just a coincidence. I don't know. But I know that more people that have experienced stuff like me, we have many things in common. And that's what makes these amazing, you know. And that's what makes me want to keep going. And in all my studies, in the Mayan study, the Synchronario Maya, I have this role that is called the Enlazador de Mundos. So this is the world's, the Enlazador de Mundos. To translate this in English, it would be like the world's connections or the world's connector. And that's my duty that I have to do here. So when I start talking with Juan and we start talking about some stuff that he has been living and all the all this stuff that happened at the same time very fast, then I say this is not a coincidence. This is not a coincidence. This is meant to be like that. I don't know, Steve, but I feel just positive stuff, and it has been really amazing. Now I'm experiencing some other stuff that I don't know if this is the place, the proper place to talk about all this stuff, but it's like
I believe this. It is, and I'll explain to you why I think.
As human beings, our brain, we've lost many of the capabilities or capacities of our brain, and now I have this intuition. Clarividencia, or like I can even hear what other people are thinking, and this is not all the time. It's not nice. It's true. It's not all the time. It's not nice. But I can hear stuff. I have this intuition very, very clear, and I've been doing games with my kids and with their friends. Of telepathy, and I have this wow. I go like, how can I do this, you know? And I discovered that we are all able to do this, all human beings. But somehow, I'm like waking up this in my brain. It's like it's waking up, and now I can play around and. It has been absolutely mind-blowing what has been happening to me in this last year. So actually, Steve, I think that the picture I did of the orb is one stuff that happened of more things going around it. And what I can tell you that it's true, and what I have this feeling and I'm certain that it was an orb. Now, when I read Marx, forensic study, I was like, wow. And I've written a little bit what you've posted in Twitter or X. And I really want to know more. I would like to meet people that lived maybe similar things that I've been living. And I would really like, Steve, to use this experience, to use this picture, to use this picture in my favor also, you know? It's just to give it the importance that it has, the value, because it is really... specific and it's really maybe it's unique. This picture is unique. For now, it's unique. So I want to learn more. I want to know more. Who's behind this? I want to know more about Arcturians and all of these nations or
civilizations.
Well, they are not people, but spirits that are out there.
Well, there's a lot of people, obviously, that I can connect you with, and we'll continue to move forward with this story and be able to connect you with more people that I feel that you should be connected with. There is, you know, as I said, one of the things that, and we talked about this first before we ever had this was when we were our first discussion, our first meeting. We talked about the consciousness part of it, and I touched on it a little bit earlier. But it seems that people that are experiencers of phenomenon, and it's not necessarily those that see something way far away, but it seems like it's almost like it touched you specifically for whatever reason. I'm not sure. But it sounds and it appears to me that it was affecting you previous to you even catching this thing on camera, as you were going through your search and through your own life story. But it seems as if possibly now even more so that it's kind of awakened things within you that you maybe didn't think that you had or you knew. And I can tell you that from an experiencer point of view, though to you, this is all a very new experience. A lot of people that I've spoken with have been going through this, some for decades. Some people have been, as children, have had experiences, and their entire lives have been taken with this situation. And they have found, you know, you talk about the psychic ability, or you talk about the, you know, being able to see and hear and experience what people are doing. Now, there's certainly people that are intuitive, you know, but I think that there's more to it than that. And there's, if you listen to Tom DeLonge, he is, I don't know if you know who Tom is, but, he's with To the Stars Academy, is also a rock star with Blink 182. I mean, he's huge. But he was one of the people that, was able to kind of get this story moving years ago again in the right direction. And then of course, in 2017, we had those videos that dropped with the Tic Tac and the orb and whatever else. And since all of that has occurred, Tom himself, who I'd love to try and get you in contact with him. Tom himself has been talking about the interdimensionality. He's talking about the beings. And one of his big things was the universe is teeming with life, right? It's everywhere. It's all around us. So there's a part to this that experiencers feel quite deeply, and it's obvious that you feel it quite deeply as well. And you talk about one of the other things, and I'm glad that you brought up Mayans and the Maya, is that it seems like throughout those cultures, and we're talking thousands of years ago now, and really, we haven't even really touched on how much is there, because a lot of those jungles, especially in Mexico, are not searched, right? There's still so much left there to learn. And if you look at some of the things that are left behind, and you look at, you know, the ancient astronaut theory, this has been going on for thousands of years, right? And there's a connectedness, and you talked about as well a little bit about your lineage, about talking about your ancestry. And I think that there could be a link between that. I think certain people are more in tune and more into receiving this, as opposed to others who may have a constant skeptic's point of view. And I think part of that is the consciousness that we have and we walk around with. It's something that showed itself to you, and you were willing and able to listen and see it. But what do you think moving forward, and as you go on your journey, do you have not necessarily expectations, but do you have a thought as to where this is going for you personally, or do you think this is just something you're going to ride along and see where it goes?
I don't know, Steve. I haven't thought about this. My personality also, I don't plan too much. I have, like, I don't know what's going to happen. I know that this is important. I know that this is important in my life. I know this is important in my life as a photographer. I know this is important in my life, in this constant exploration and seeking stuff. I know that this is going to make me meet people. Important people or not important people, but I'm going to meet people. And for me, it's just very nice to meet you, you know, and you have a lot of information, and I really like to meet you, and I really like to be able to be one more person demonstrating that there's stuff going around. And there's a lot of people here that have a lot of instruments and have a lot of technology, and they are not telling us the truth. And this is something that I don't like. And I like to be part of one person telling the truth. And so I don't feel, I think that when you tell the truth, I have no fear. I have no fear because this is the truth. And I'm always living like in this way. So, but I don't know, Steve. I don't know. I have no expectations. I don't know. I hope someday I can go and with them, you know, for a couple of days or forever. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. But I know that I have to be very clever and I have to be very
attentive
or how would you say in English? And to be pay attention to the sky and to the trips I do. I drive my car. Yesterday I drove through the desert 3 hours and I was thinking, oh, maybe I should stop and put the camera. So now when I have this feeling I should stop and put the camera, I will do it. I'm sure I will stop the car and I'll put the camera because that's why I'm feeling something. And no expectations, Steve. I know I'm gonna meet people. I know this is gonna. It's just part of the stories I'm gonna tell my kids and my grandkids, and it's just life, you know. It's I feel it like this. I have this feeling. When I told Juan, I knew this was going to happen. I have this big feeling that we can find something very interesting underwater in the ocean. And the ocean hasn't been studied, like maybe 5% of the ocean has been studied, and mainly next to the coast. And now we don't know what's going on there. And every dive, I have this new expectation, you know, of finding something that is not that hasn't been documented before, because I can't say that this stuff is from outside of the earth. I don't know. I think they've been in the earth always, but in different dimensions that we are not able to see and feel. That's it. It's just a lot of dimensions in the same spot. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, this spot is just nothing, you know? Earth and us and each spot is just a spot in nothing, and we're nothing. But in this huge and this tiny stuff, I have to be, boom, I don't know. See what happens, you know, and I really would like to know what's this that I recorded, why I saw it. Mm-hmm. So, and this is kind of this conversation that we are having right now, is a little bit of to talk about it, you know, and to see what
I know that one of the things, I can't get too deeply into it. Juan and I have discussed this, and we have a mutual friend, another mutual friend. And I don't know how deeply I can go into this, but I can specifically say that this person recognized what it was, confirmed what it was. And I don't know if you've spoken with Juan about that or not, but specifically said that they had experience with this exact object, like not something like it, but something that was identical to this object. And this was many years ago. This was not something that was recent. In fact, one of the things that had been posited, one of the things that had been spoken about, was maybe this was a technology that somehow either the United States or another foreign government had, and it was over the rainforest. Well, there's a couple problems with that. The first one is, well, it must be able to either cloak itself, disappear, and appear at literally a fraction of a second. We don't have that. There's just no way that we have that. And the other thing that it would be that it would be huge, right? And it's over the canopy, over the trees, and that's just simply not occurring. You can't point me to anything that could technologically do that for humanity. It does not exist. And it was, I think, an important aspect to get that other person that we were speaking with. I'm trying to get them on record. I'm really trying. They are under a classified non-disclosure agreement. They off not to me personally, but to Juan. They spoke off record that this orb that we caught, or that you caught, and that we've been talking about, is the exact object that I had reported about before with my contact. You caught on film, and then it was shown to this other person, and this other person said, "I know what that is. I know exactly what that is." There are thoughts about time travel components, and I know that that's out there. There are discussions about interdimensionality, moving between dimensions. And then there's just people that are talking about a portal movement, moving from point A to point B, but going very fast. So it's here, and now it's, now it's across the country in like that, right? Portals. And then there are other things that were discussed between Einstein-Rosen bridges, which are wormholes, right? You take a piece of paper, you fold it in half, you go here to here, boom, you're right through. So distance isn't a problem. So that's that part of the discussion that is still ongoing, and what Juan and I are trying to figure out. So I'm trying to get you that information as much as I can. I have a couple theories that I'm not ready to completely put out, but I think this person definitely knows a lot more than they're able to speak about. But yeah, so that's ongoing. That technological component is ongoing. It's something that we've been working on, and I want to give Juan a lot of credit on that, because he certainly led the charge on that. I had a sneaking suspicion, but then when he, you know, when we talked about that, it was kind of an aha moment. Like, okay. So it's like everything that I had reported on early, and then your picture, and then what I heard later on, it's like it's all tying together. And there are others that are in this community, in this field, much, much more connected than I am, that are saying 2024 is going to be a very big year, and you're going to get a lot of answers as to what these things are. You're going to get a lot more from people that have also experienced these things, not just yourself, but others. Firsthand witnesses that are coming forward, people that have had same experiences as you that are coming forward, and others that are, able to continue on and really tell their stories and get that out. So it's a really cool time, and I think you're going to be learning a lot more about it, especially with your experience, very soon. So that's a good thing. I lost your video, but I don't think it matters, because I believe I can still hear you, but the video on my end cut out, but that doesn't mean it's going to stay cut out. Sometimes this application does that. But so yeah, I mean, do you have any final thoughts as we wrap it up? I think we're getting right into the hour. So I think it's been interesting, and I think we're going to keep in contact, and I would like to make sure that I keep a line of communication out and open between us, so that I can also kind of point you in the area of other people that have, experienced some of this as well. I think that's important, and I think that's something you want.
So how can we get into?
You and I, it's easy. I have all your contact information.
Into straight communication.
I can get you into complete and direct, just you and my conversation. That's not a problem. We'll talk off air about that. I'll just send you an email tonight, and I'll give you all my information so that you're able to contact me anytime you want. We'll figure it out. I'm not worried about that. You know, contact me anytime you like.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's where that was a nice talk and chat, and I'm wondering to hear about the news about the next studies that you've been doing and analysis that you've been doing with Juan. and with other people.
Absolutely.
You know?
We have more coming. So there's just stay tuned. And if I can get this other person on record, it's going to be a big deal. It'll be very big deal. Much like it I don't really, I can't, I wish I could shout it out, but I can't. I made promises and this person is entitled to their, you know, their privacy, and they're also entitled to, you know, if it's a classified situation, they're stuck. There's not much that they can say. We can talk behind the scenes, but I can't bring it out. It's not possible for me to do. So, but we'll work on it and we'll see what we can do.
Okay. I'll be waiting for your mail. And if you can send me your WhatsApp phone, so that way we can get in touch easier and keep in touch, Steve. Mm-hmm. I've been in touch with Juan, and I know that he's in touch with you all the time. But let's get in touch. So let me all the information in the email, and we'll keep talking.
You just listened to Dear People of Earth. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.